Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, it's the best day of my life. Dr. Natalie Marks is in the studio.
Steve, these get better and better every time.
Well, I'll be seeing you again in about a week, right, in Las Vegas?
In Orlando.
In Orlando, that's
but
what I meant.
If you're in Las Vegas, we won't be seeing each other.
Well, actually, are you going to the Western Conference? So we'll see each other in Las Vegas, too.
We will.
So there's the, it's called VMX. It's a big veterinary conference. Thousands and thousands and thousands of veterinary professionals there. And you'll be talking about leptospirosis, I believe.
I will,
at 7 in the morning.
Very early.
And then at 8 in the morning, see, I want to come and see you because I hear you have a rockin' PowerPoint. We have a friend that told me about it. And then at 8 o'clock, I'm presenting about cat-friendly veterinary practices, which you are one of.
Right.
And I've got to make it from point A to point B. So I want to come and see you.
You might be sprinting.
I don't know where your point A is compared to my point B off the top of my head. But this is a huge conference,
right.
So it may not be all that close. I know.
You might have to skip out on mine a little bit.
Well, right. So if you see me run out of the room...
Don't take a hint.
There's a certain veterinarian we both know whose name might be Dr. Becker. And I came in to see his talk. I came in late because I was somewhere, you know, but I wanted to see him talk. So he makes a big deal about how I walk into the room, 200 people.
Right.
And then I'm thinking, oh, no, because I actually got to leave early. I just wanted to be nice to come and see him and support him. So when I left the room, I thought, okay, I'm going to sneak out the side door. He'll never notice. Of course, he saw that and pointed that out to 200. There goes Steve Dale. So there goes the dog flu or not. It was a couple of years ago that the strain called H3N2 that you can explain arrived in the United States, and Chicago was so lucky because this happened to be the city that it arrived in.
Right.
And it arrived in kind of a big way. There was a huge outbreak of flu. I don't know if we know how many dogs, but thousands got sick.
Right.
And if you do the math, and 2 to 5%, I think, is what they figure the number of dogs that die of flu.
Right.
If we figure randomly 3,000 dogs got sick, that means 2 to 5% did die. And maybe the number was even higher when it first hit. Some say it was, because veterinarians and the public had no idea what we were dealing with.
Exactly.
And now, a couple of years later, not 30 years later, just a couple of years later, 46 states, I think, have had flu, and there are outbreaks as we speak all over the country.
Right.
California in particular is suffering here, there, and there in California in three big, large areas.
Right. Yeah, you know, this flu came to us, and we had a previous dog flu, as you know, H3N8, that we discovered in the Greyhound tracks of Florida in 2008. But this was from South Korea, and nobody really knew what we were dealing with, which
the
is...
The strain that more recently
Right,
here,
which is why you referenced we don't really know how many dogs were sick or how many died, because we didn't even have a test for this until late spring of that year. So, yes, it is worrisome. In Chicago, you know, I get asked all the time how many cases of flu are still here. I don't think we really know. I mean, we know it's still in a lot of the shelters. We know that people travel all the time with their dogs, and this flu is going state to state. It's even, as you know, and I think you blogged about it, was in Canada. So they have flu now. It's just an incredibly contagious virus. It can live on our clothing. It can live in the environment for, you know, a day to 2 days. Really, vaccination is our only strategy against this flu, you know, similar to the human world. And we are still concerned about it because even though this is a flu where many dogs, you know, do recover, they can get quite sick. And unfortunately, there are fatalities associated with it.
You know, you could text us, you can call us, 312-981-7200. Several texts about snow being a bad word, and I agree with that. But if you have questions for Dr. Marks, 312-981-7200, or call or text us at that same number. So animal shelters have been closed around the country because of flu. It hit shelters here. Chicago Animal Care and Control had been, I think, not so much now, happily,
right,
but had been for a very long time dealing with it. The Animal Welfare League of Chicago, by all accounts and what I am told by the shelter director, currently has H3N2 to the extent that they are, they've closed the facility, which is the right thing to do. They're not adopting those dogs out. There are 48 dogs, according to what I've been told, that have gotten sick. There are other issues going on at the Animal Welfare League of Chicago for which I have written about. I talked to the director, but I also talked to other people who just weren't willing to go on record. But I talked to other people as well. And it's very controversial within the animal welfare community. You can read my post about it if you want, but I will tell you, sometimes my thinking is where there is smoke, there's fire, and Animal Welfare League of Chicago has been targeted for years with concerns. Legitimate or not, I don't know. And sometimes, here's the thing, people go online and say stuff. Well, now the stuff they say is being backed up a bit with content. So I will report on this over the next couple of days, and it's stevedale.tv. Here's why I'm bringing it up, only why I'm bringing it up as far as this conversation, having to do with dog flu. So you have places like animal shelters, you have places like kennels and boarding facilities. If you plan to, no one plans to have their dog be put in a shelter, but a boarding facility or a kennel, even grooming facilities, dog training classes, you're around other dogs, all of these things, does that mean you need to vaccinate your dog?
100%. And, you know, a lot of the dog community, communal dog area groups of Chicago, like a lot of the boarding and training facilities, really banded together when we had our outbreak and made new guidelines requiring H3N2 and H3N8 before coming to the facility, and most importantly requiring that at least 2 to 4 weeks before they come. It's not enough to say, oh shoot, I'm boarding my dog tomorrow, I got to get to the vet and get the vaccine today. It's not going to kick in time. So I'm really proud of those groups for taking a stand and trying to protect not only the facility, but most importantly the dogs and the families that are coming in there, and being a responsible community member, because we have to think of the greater good of all the dogs here. But yes, I mean, if you are an active dog family and taking your dog to these communal areas, flu, if it's in a room with 100 dogs and flu virus is spread in there, 99 of those 100 dogs are going to get sick. Okay, so
actually, that's not quite right. So 99 out of 100 will get the bug. But 20% don't get sick, which makes it even more complicated, doesn't it?
Well,
because you don't know
they don't
that
show
your dog,
the signs,
right,
but they have the virus.
But so there's no way to know from a pet owner's perspective.
Right.
There's no way to know my dog is that now. The good news is my dog's feeling fine. No symptoms. The bad news is my dog still has the virus and is sharing that with other dogs.
Right. Exactly. So I guess what I mean by being sick is they will acquire the virus.
Right.
So they may not be having that horrible fever and cough that we see so commonly with H3N2, but they're going to go to the boarding facility in a couple days and shed that virus to all of those dogs, and then we've got an outbreak of 30 dogs like we're seeing all over the country the last 2 years.
And that's the tricky part.
It is.
Because people don't know, so they may go to a dog show. It's happened to dog shows.
Yes.
So they may go to a dog show with their dog, thinking their dog is fine. They didn't vaccinate their dog. They shouldn't be necessarily thinking that, but they may not know that 20% approximately of these dogs, they show no symptoms whatsoever, but they are contagious.
Right. And I think we also have to think about a communal dog area a little more creatively too, because one of the biggest problems we had here in Chicago were people who lived in high rises that use communal dog elevators. So they might think, oh, I just take my dog out for walks, I don't go to any of these places. Well, inherently you do, because that elevator was just a breeding ground, a flu all day long for a lot of these dogs. So I think it's really, is your dog exposed to other dogs in any way? And most of Chicago City is, and you really need to talk to your veterinarian about your dog's individual health and risk factors and previous vaccine reaction risk, but talk to them about the flu vaccine and if it's right for your dog.
So one of the texts I just glanced at, what about dog parks?
Well, dog parks are communal, and I get the question all the time. Well, I try to go to the dog park when there's no other dogs there because my dog doesn't get along well with other dogs. But we know that dog flu can live in the environment for up to 48 hours. So just because you're there without a dog, another dog present, and your dog's running around, they're still potentially exposed to the virus because it's a communal dog area.
So we have a question here from Karen, who says, is this just like lepto? Can you vaccinate for flu, and should you vaccinate for lepto? I think on Facebook Live, that's what she's asking.
Great questions, and yes, there are vaccinations for both. They're very good vaccines. Flu, especially the strain for H3N2, was made from the actual disease outbreak that we had in Chicago. So it's an incredible match, unlike in human flu vaccines, where they're sort of grabbing a bunch of strains and putting them together, hoping that they're going to find the right one. In canine medicine, thankfully, the flu strains, H3N8 and H3N2, have strayed very little from their origination here. So we have a very accurate and very effective vaccine.
So when we come back, a couple of texts that are more on target than you might think, having to do with cats.
Great.
And dog flu. And also, can people get dog flu? We'll answer those questions. And as they say in radio, and more. WGN, that's where you are. WGN Radio, talking with one of my favorite guests, Dr. Natalie Marks. You should hear the conversations off the air as much as on the air as we catch up with one another.
Starbucks coffee this morning.
Well, oh, yeah, tell that story.
I'm a Starbucks addict. Everybody that knows me knows that, like, the weight of my heart is through my latte. And I went to get one before the show, and I walk in there. There's no one in there, right? Just the people and
it's me. Early in the morning.
And
yeah.
They're super pleasant, which is great, but asking my name to
who else
to assign to my coffee, and I look around. There's no one there, and I'm like, do you really need my name? He's like, yes. Like, okay. I gave it. I'm waiting and waiting. It's sort of like that Meet the Parents movie, you know, where they're,
yes,
like, waiting, and then he finally calls my name for the coffee, which I'm the only one waiting.
It's me.
Yep, I guess I'm the only Natalie in here, but
you should have given, like, only one waiting or something is your name.
It's just strange.
And maybe they would have gotten a hint. We've got a lot of text to get to, but
first,
I need to say that pets are like family. Well, no, that's not really right. They are family. That's why doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago are always there when you need them. They're located at the corner of Belmont, Western, and Clybourne. MedVet, they're close to your heart, I know.
They are.
Yep, they provide emergency specialty and critical care when? All the time.
All the time.
All the time. They never close. They are an American Animal Hospital Association accredited referral hospital, a Trauma One Center. So just like they have emergency rooms for us, should we need it, I would argue you get better service there than for us, but that's a whole different thing. Their phone number is 773-281-7110. 773-281-7110, MedVetForPets.com. All right, now, let's see, Dr. Marks. Hold on. As texts come in, the others, you know, the older ones scroll down, and I don't want to miss those. A friend of mine has a dog who visits. My two indoor cats have been sneezing for 2 months. What do you think? Could it be dog flu in these cats?
Technically speaking, yes. So we know that dog flu can go to cats. There have been documented cases, mostly in shelters, but we do know that. I would strongly encourage you to schedule an appointment with your veterinarian if they've been sneezing for 2 months and aren't getting better. I mean, there's lots of causes for sneezing in cats, you know, upper respiratory infections, allergies, you know, quite a few things. And we want to make sure we're diagnosing it correctly and, of course, treating and resolving it. But, yes, technically speaking, when we have cats that are sneezing or having chronic upper respiratory signs, we now do have to consider dog flu.
And there are several questions here about the vaccine itself. So, and I'm not going to get to all these comments. We have a lot of them. But you said earlier, and we need to explain this, that if you vaccinate just before you, say, go on vacation and board your dog, that's kind of too late.
Right.
So explain that. Also, a different question about how often we have to, is it an annual vaccine, et cetera?
Okay, so quickly, the original series is a series of two. So the first vaccine and then the booster 2 to 4 weeks later. And then it's a once a year or an annual vaccine. So the way our body works is the first vaccine goes into the body and it sets up what are called memory proteins or antibodies. It's the way to trigger your body to fight off a disease. And so that first one just makes them. And the second vaccine, what we call primes them. So it recalls all those proteins and says, hey, when this foreign invader, in this case flu, comes into the body, these are the guys you call from the immune system to fight it. And so they need to get ready and be ready to fight. And so we have to prime the body and call those memory proteins up. And it takes 2 to 4 weeks to do that. So the first vaccine does help a little bit, as we know. So it decreases the shedding of the virus about 63%, they think, right now. So what that means is even if you only get the first one, at least you're helping to prevent a little bit of shedding of the virus to the other dogs in the community. But as far as protecting your own dog, you need that booster in time before you go to the boarding facility.
Yeah, and this is an annual vaccine.
Absolutely.
To answer the other questions. So on the radio, Bob, welcome to WGN. Yes. Good morning.
Yes, I had heard, I believe, on your show earlier that, you know, using CBD oil, which is an extract from marijuana or edible marijuana.
Oh, you're going to get us in trouble, I think.
It is a better form of pain control for dogs and cats rather than using opioids. So, I mean, what's your opinion about using CBD oil?
Actually, it's a legitimate.
Yeah.
So at some point in time, that question, I might have, like, thrown him off the air. Well, I wouldn't have done that, Bob. But we're considering these sorts of things.
No, Bob, you're right on track. It's, you know, we, in the veterinary world, we sort of take things from the human world and look at them and see their efficacy and then try to see if it's adaptable to our pets and our patients. And CBD oil and their related products are being studied very heavily right now and are being used in some studies to see if you are correct. And it's looking very promising, but it is still very, very new. So if you're interested in this or you have some thoughts about that, I would strongly encourage you to talk to your veterinarian and discuss some of the risks and how to use it correctly, because there are different ways to use that than you're using in humans, and we don't want to be using it incorrectly.
But you're on to something, Bob.
You are.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
So we talked a bit about leptospirosis. When we come back in like 10 seconds or less, I think, let's explain what that is.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. We're about to break a record. Leptospirosis in 15 seconds, Dr. Marks.
Very scary disease. So talk to your veterinarian. This is a bacteria that lives in the rodents around the city. They urinate it out in standing water sources, and our dogs can get it from licking their feet after they step in water or drinking a puddle. It can cause liver and kidney failure and flu-like symptoms. It's a very scary disease, but very treatable. Most importantly, it can be transmitted to your family. So talk to your veterinarian and keep your dog and your whole family protected.
There she is.
Did I make it? 10 seconds?
Almost. Dr. Natalie Marks of Blum Animal Hospital in Chicago.